Okay, and welcome back. Hour number three, going over to Ireland to talk to Father Paul Kramer, who has a worldwide following, and we have been through this entire passing of the old Bergoglio and the installation of the new Bergoglio. He's been rather quiet lately, not much in the news. Headlines, Pope appeals for responsibility and reason in the Iran-Israel confrontation. Cardinal Matthew of Iran says, let's pray negotiations resume. He said that 2 days ago. There's another one. Why the Vatican is well positioned to broker peace with Iran. That was from August, No, that's old. Forget that. No, that's out. Pope urges peace. This is 6 days ago. Warns against escalation. Same old, same old. As Trump threatens Iran, Pope Leo issues a strong warning. This is 2 days ago. I don't think we are hearing anything profound here at all. Father Kramer, how are you? Welcome back. Thank you again for being here.
Well, I'm doing well, but unfortunately, the world is not doing so well at this moment. And
no,
I have spoken about this topic long ago. A friend of mine in London sent me a link to an interview that I had done in 2012, talking about how this event in Iran is going to set off World War III.
Really?
2 years later, 2014, on LifeSite News, John Henry Weston was very impressed by the another interview I had given, speaking about an attack from Israel on Iran is going to be the thing that will be probably setting off World War III. This was 2014. This was 13 years ago, I already foretold these events. Why? Because I'm not a prophet myself, but I have studied prophecy. It's all there. This is where we're headed now.
Right, right. Well, we're at the doorstep. It's clear to me that Trump is going to attack Iran as the United States of America, with American military personnel, American equipment, jets, bombs, and all the rest of it. Probably they'll use the pretense that Israel needs help and we have to save our brave little democratic friend in the Middle East, something like that. Or there could be a false flag operation. There could be a lot of things. One thing, Father Kramer, that bears watching is that the USS Nimitz, the aircraft carrier task force, is due to arrive on station tomorrow within range of Iranian hypersonic missiles. The Nimitz is due to be scrapped beginning next year. It's at the end of its lifespan. And I'm wondering if we might see some kind of a Gulf of Tonkin attack on the Nimitz. Not by Iran either. I'm talking false flag here. So what are some of the other scenarios you see?
There is another one. There's one also interesting foretold by some of the Greek Orthodox saints of Mount Athos, that Erdogan will be replaced or will die or whatever, but he'll be out of the picture. And whoever comes in after him will be more militant and make war with Greece.
You're talking
and when
about
that
Turkey.
Happens, yeah, Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, that's when Israel will strike Iran and Russia will attempt to enter. But the Turks will have closed the Bosphorus Strait, and that would set off World War III because the Russians would need to enter through to get into the Mediterranean. Yeah. They have to go through the strait, and that would be the event, the major event that we would look for to be the trigger and to just start the major hostilities in the world.
Mm-hmm. So far, the next big move might be the closing of the Strait of Hormuz, and the international oil shipments that go through there. Don't know for sure, but the closing down of the Bosphorus would be, I think, every bit as impressive in terms of a geopolitical movement. That's a big deal. We'll see. I'm not sure that the Russians, I can't quite figure out how they would want to get into this. I hear what you're saying. So far, the Russians have played it quietly in the background, and they're not doing much. Which is, I guess, to be expected at this point. They're not directly involved. I still honestly can't read Putin. I can't understand what he's up to. If he's really being influenced and controlled by the Jewish oligarchs of Russia, which I think is certainly probable at the very least, and then you have Medvedev, who is really taking the gloves off. He says what you'd expect Putin to say, but it's Medvedev that says it. It's a very interesting dynamic there. So if the Russians want to get in, or if the Israelis want to increase the ante, all they have to do is start lobbing tactical nukes, which would be, I wouldn't be surprised, to tell you the truth. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Anyway, so go ahead, please, carry on. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned Medvedev, because I have long thought that he's going to play a very important role in the coming years, along with Putin at the present. So we can't always predict exactly how Putin is going to respond to the situation at the present time, because he doesn't telegraph his moves, and he's very good at that.
He's quite a diplomat, yes. Poker player.
But at the same time, he has made it very clear. He has indicated quite explicitly where he draws that line in the sand, and which must not be crossed. And the Western powers in Israel are not paying attention. So that we are headed toward a very nasty situation now. There's going to be war.
I don't know how war could be avoided at this point. Now, as we speak, the Israelis continue to attack Iran. That hasn't stopped. They're sending over this, that, and the other thing to deliver punishment to various key sites, infrastructure hubs, and so forth. And the Iranians, I think, have launched 17 waves so far in their True Promise 3 operation. 17 waves of IRBMs, missiles, drones, UAVs. So they've really been sending a lot of material, but many of their rockets are approaching or past their shelf life. They need to be used, and they're using them. They're burning up old inventory. And now they're to the point where they can start using their hypersonic weapons, which is, again, why I mentioned the Nimitz. They can target the Fatah rocket on the Nimitz, and chances are, first of all, it'll be completely unstoppable. Forget that. It's not going to happen. Seven times the speed of sound? Forget it. It won't happen. It'll go through and hit. But I don't think the Iranians would want that, because it would give Trump and his handlers a complete green light to do whatever they want. They'll scream and yell. It'll be like the Gulf of Tonkin, but real. So I don't see that happening. But it is time now for an American warship to be sacrificed. And it could be the Nimitz if that were to happen. And I'm talking about a false flag. Let's just say that the Israelis don't put it past them, were to take out an American warship to scream and yell about the evil Iranians to trigger the beginning of the big war. Wouldn't surprise me in the least. No, false flags.
It wouldn't be the first time.
No.
It wouldn't be the first time. The USS Liberty. Remember that one?
I certainly do.
So
I had
it
crew members
the
on
time.
The program, Father Kramer. That was one of the most dastardly things which should have, by all rights, written Israel out of our screenplay entirely. Forget it. They're done. That was as dirty as it gets. And yes, not the first time.
But we can't. I can't foretell the day or the hour. But what I see coming up soon mm-hmm. is that Israel will make their strike on Iran, and that will be the major event that sets off the Third World War.
A nuclear strike. Probably.
It will have to be a nuclear strike because mm-hmm. the bunker busting bombs that they use to hit the nuclear installations are themselves nuclear weapons. So
what's most important, the Israelis don't have the ability to deliver a 30,000-pound bunker busting bomb. Only we do. With a B-52 or a B-2. I guess either one can carry it. And that's a GBU-57. That's not a nuke, but it might as well be a nuke because of the amount of explosive force. Yes.
That would be a very eventful moment
yes.
in American history. Because,
in world history, Western world. Yes.
Yeah, but particularly in American history, because there are forces stationed in the United States, in the USA, that will the fifth column, they will strike inside the USA. They don't have to invade the United States. They're already there.
Who will it be? Are you talking about Iranian fifth columnists or Mossad fifth columnists dressed up as Iranian fifth columnists?
Well,
or both.
The Mossad would usually strike first, but the Iranians are also there, and the Iranians will along with the North African. Countries, they will attack Europe. They will invade Europe, and you will have the Iranians in Europe
mm-hmm.
as an invading force. And the United States will be burned down. They will use weapons from outer space, weapons that will set the country on fire.
Then you're talking about tactical, small nuclear weapons. It wouldn't be traditional explosives. You're talking about something more than that, I believe. No?
Something... how should I say, technologically more mm-hmm. advanced than the old nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, but it would be very easy, would it not, Father Kramer? It would be very easy for the Mossad to carry out this kind of activity and simply blame it on Iran. Iran doesn't want to commit suicide. That's not what a healthy, normal nation wants to do. But anything that comes out of Israel is sky's the limit. I mean, those people are capable of anything. I would think that the false flag aspect of it would be a gimme. You know, Mossad
yes,
goes in and kills a bunch of Americans, maybe hits a hospital, whatever, And then they let it fall right on the shoulders of the Iranians, and America would be outraged. You know how that works. We all do.
Once they set the Samson option into motion, anything
mm-hmm.
is possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Agree. I totally agree. Yeah. You saw what Trump did the other day? He said that everybody in Tehran should get out immediately. A lot of them panic took over, and a lot of them tried to. They were lined up as far as you could see on the main thoroughfare freeway going through Tehran. Just as far as you could see. The road is six lanes wide, and it was packed side to side as far as you could see. Where those people went, I don't know. Some of them probably coming back now, but it's interesting how one statement from Trump could trigger, obviously, millions of people trying to get out. It was interesting.
Well, these events are going to change the world very rapidly, because we look at the First World War and the Second World War, and we see how radically the world changed after both of these wars.
Well, it's never the same. That's right.
That's right. And it's going to be even more radical this time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I love about the message of Fatima, because Our Lady of Fatima said, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. That God is going to intervene, and he's going to save humanity. He's going to save what's left of humanity.
Well, he better. Yes, I agree. That has to happen, or humanity will be gone. It's
That's right.
Die out. Will there be a traditional rapture then? Will God save people by lifting them up, or will God do something else? What do you think?
No, he's not going to lift them up. There is no scriptural foundation for that at all.
Oh, interesting. And, good. Good to know.
Yeah, scripture is pretty much the most evident foundation of divine revelation that we have. And mm-hmm. there is no scriptural foundation for that. The only type of rapture event that will take place will be at the second coming of Christ, when the apostle Saint Paul says, "We will be taken up into the air," and even Saint Augustine, way back in the early 5th century, spoke about that event that will take place. That even those who are living, because in the Christian creed, of course, we speak of the judgment of the living and the dead. Those who mm-hmm. are living will undergo technically what is a death, separation of the body and soul, but it will be something so instantaneous that it will be almost as if they had not died at all, because Christ will judge the living and the dead. So all the past generations will be brought back to life, and those who are living at the time will undergo that change. The Apostle Paul says, we will all be changed. And that event, that rapturous event, is at the end of the world. That's when Christ comes to judge the living and the dead. He says, the Son of Man will come on the clouds of heaven. And it's in the Gospels, especially you read it in the Synoptic Gospels, where he describes how his second coming will take place. So that is the only rapture event that will take place. There is no other. You read scripture from Genesis until the book of Revelation, and there is nothing in between those two covers of that book that we call the Holy Bible that indicates that there will be some other kind of rapture event. There's none other.
Okay. All right. When you look back on the third prophecy, is there anything in there that can be construed, interpreted as having to do with advanced, what we call intelligence, AI? Is there any suggestion in there that there will be another power, another force on the planet, not godlike or like Jesus, but another power that humans will have to deal with. And I say that because there are people out there who believe firmly that don't worry about AI because the programmers are going to control it. Well, we've already seen that is not necessarily the truth. And I did a little research today and found out that right now, 40% of all of the programming and coding done with AI is being done by AI. It's coding itself. So every month that goes by, that 40% is going to increase substantially. Anyway, I'm very interested in this whole AI thing and how it is taking over very quickly. Or people are allowing it to take over, but I don't look to programmers and coders to save the day. I don't feel that. And is there anything in scripture about AI at this point? And I think it's the most important thing that we've ever, talk about crossroads, we've ever confronted as a species on this planet, AI. I think it's that big and that powerful.
There is nothing that I find that is explicit about AI, especially in scripture, but in history. You look at the events in history, and they are foretold in scripture, and they are foretold in prophecy, those events that have already taken place. The French Revolution, the Soviet Revolution, what took place was initiated by the activities of men, and the contemporaries at the time, in the time of the authors who wrote during the French Revolution, authors who wrote during the Soviet Revolution and the period that's followed the Soviet Revolution, they have all expressed this idea that what was happening began as the activities of men, and then some other power, some superior force, and not a benevolent force, some superior force, or say some lower force, preternatural force, entered into the picture and took over. And that is when the worst harm was inflicted on people in those places. That it was something palpable. It was something they could feel. And I remember reading. I remember reading a man who wrote this in the 1700s, talking about how you could feel that spirit that had entered, and that events were out of the control of, no longer in the control under the hands of men, but there were what the Apostle Paul calls the principalities and powers of darkness. They had taken over. That happened in the French Revolution, and it happened during the time of the Soviet Revolution, and immediately after the Soviet Revolution, same thing had happened. And when you and it's so well described by Solzhenitsyn in his Gulag Archipelago. And there's so many works in the French Revolution too, and the Reign of Terror. There are so many that people just need to go back and open up the covers of these books and read how the demonic forces had taken over and oppressed the human race. And that's going to happen again. That is what's going to happen.
We're very close to momentous changes. Will the third secret play a role in guidance for people, as you understand it, during these times, which are obviously going to be extremely difficult?
The third secret is going to be published by the grace of God. It will be published. Because that is the beacon of hope. That is the light that will shine on the world to instill people with hope and to look back at what is foretold in Scripture, what is foretold in all the 2,000 years of Catholic tradition. The apostolic tradition, which tells us that we are not headed toward total ruin, total destruction. There's going to be a great deal of ruin, a great deal of destruction, but there is going to be the victory of Jesus Christ And his church is the bride of Christ. And that is when the human race is converted to Christ, that the human race will be saved. When people will turn back to God in repentance and in faith, that's what God is going to work through all these horrible events. And that's why God is going to allow this to happen to the world.
Understand. Publishing the third secret. Obviously, I would just react. I wouldn't expect the Vatican to publish it. Somebody's going to publish it, though, right? Not the Vatican. They don't want to let that cat out of the bag.
No, they don't. They don't want to because it interferes with their revolution.
Their agenda. Yes, of course. Yeah. All right.
This has been going on since the Second Vatican Council. The seeds were planted even before the Second Vatican Council, but that's when the ball really got started rolling, was the Second Vatican Council. And they won't let that stop. They are still adamant. They will not admit the error that was made at the Second Vatican Council because they are all in favor of that error.
Uh-huh.
It's called what Pope St. Pius X warned about, how they will set up a one world religion. And he said, it will not be Catholic, it will not be Protestant, it will not be Jewish. Well, it's going to be something else. And I think we know what's going to be.
Why even? All right, with we only have. The monitor turned on. There are about 14 million people on the planet who identify as being Jewish. That's the best number I can come up with. Why would we even mention Judaism along with Catholicism, Eastern Orthodox? Well, I don't understand. 14 million people on the planet. That's not a lot of people. There's 13 million people live in Los Angeles County. Just give you an idea. So I don't know. If we always cite Judaism as one of the most powerful things on the planet. Why? Because it is.
But it is. That's right.
I don't think it should be, but it is. And that's where we are. So go ahead.
It is a force. It is a force to be reckoned with. And we know from Catholic prophecy that the Jews will convert to Christianity. They will accept Christ. They will enter the church after these events because as much as they say, never again, never again, never again, it's going to happen again. And that will finally crush their arrogance, and they will enter. They will finally understand that their destiny is to accept the one who was appointed by God to be their king. That's what's going to happen.
I don't see them doing that. And what if it never again, never again? What if it never happened the first time? What if it was all an artifice, a ploy? A deception, a marketing tool. And to a large degree, a lot of people believe that. Just a thought.
Well, I look at the word of sacred scripture, Jesus Christ himself, if I can quote the great Latin translation of St. Jerome.
Yeah.
Scriptura non solvitur. The scripture is not dissolved. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. And the word of scripture is that, and we see it very clearly indicated by the Apostle Paul, that the Jews eventually, they will convert. And in Catholic prophecy, it's even more explicit. The day will come when they will be. Mm-hmm. Their pride, their arrogance will be so crushed that they will be converted. And that will be a signal.
Very interesting day. Yeah.
Yeah. And that,
they've
that
been
will be
practicing this for 3,000 years. They're pretty good at arrogance. Yeah.
But that will be the signal that that the end of the world and the second coming of Christ is very near. Uh-huh. When when the Jews convert to Christ, that will be the signal that the end of the world is very near.
Well. All right. Okay. In terms of the immediate future, nuclear war, are we really going to tumble into it headlong, or will it be judicious, tactically laid out, done to stampede and control, as they always do, the masses? How do you see it playing out? Or will somebody just kind of have a bad day and turn it all loose?
I don't think they're just going to turn it all loose. They're not going to just turn it all loose, but it will begin with nuclear exchanges. But then there are other weapons that will intervene.
There are other weapons that people don't know about in the public domain. You mentioned Dmitry Medvedev, and that was a very good thing to mention. This man is playing a very big role in politics, in Eastern politics, Russian politics, world politics. And he doesn't get enough. I don't think he gets enough serious attention. When he speaks, there's a reason for him speaking, and he has said a lot of things which are well worth noting. He said, "What is your opinion of Medvedev?"
Well, there's one event that is particularly memorable for me is when he went to France. That was between the terms of Putin as president, when Medvedev was president, and he traveled to France, and they rolled out the red carpet for him, and what would he like to see? And when he answered that what he wanted to see, they mocked him. This is incredible. He said he wanted to go to Notre Dame. He wanted to see the crown of thorns. The crown of thorns that was placed on the head of Christ during his crucifixion, his passion and death, the crucifixion. And he wanted to see the crown of thorns.
Is that the, Father Kramer, is that the real crown? Is it really here? Is it really still extant?
I have not examined that particular artifact, but I can say this much. The artifacts that we have of the Passion and Death of Christ are real, or they are authentic. For example, on the cross of Christ, there was that plaque that was placed. It's written in the gospel how it was written, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Mm-hmm. That plaque has been there. It's in Rome. It's in a church in Rome called the Church of the Holy Cross in Jerusalem, and that's in Rome. I have seen it with my own eyes, and the words in Aramaic, I'm not sure. I think in Latin are kind of rubbed out, but the Greek, I think the Greek is still there. Whether the Greek or the Latin is still there, it's been too long since I've seen it. But in one of the three languages, and you read in the gospel that it was written in three languages, and it's in three languages, and there's there are two of the languages that are pretty much rubbed out, but you can still see something of there. And one of the languages that's still there, it was in Latin, Greek, and in Aramaic. And that is a physical artifact from the Passion and Death of Christ that is still there. I am not at all in doubt about the crown of thorns, because so many of those artifacts, being the for those who believe in Jesus Christ, those are the most precious things mm-hmm. on earth. Mm-hmm. And they were saved. Mm-hmm. And they have been preserved. And they have been guarded religiously.
Understood.
So,
yeah.
So I don't have any doubt about it.
Do we
but that's,
the,
what Medvedev, that's what Medvedev okay. wanted to see, the crown of thorns.
Fascinating. Well, isn't there a photograph of Adolf Hitler looking at, in a glass case, the sword of, I'll mess the pronunciation up, the sword of Longinus, whatever it is, the sword that was supposedly pierced Christ? If it was a sword at all, it was something, a sharp implement. I believe it was a sword. Anyway, there's a picture of him looking at it. It disappeared at the end of the war, supposedly, again. But it was in possession of the government of Germany, and it was on display, heavily guarded. But that was another one. And you got but the shroud. Go ahead.
Unlike Medvedev, Hitler was interested in that sword because for him it was
power.
Power. It was a source of power. Whereas with Medvedev, he wanted to see the crown of thorns because it was out of devotion to Christ.
Well, it was reverential entirely. Yes, totally
yes.
different. I get it. Yeah. Well, I've always liked Medvedev. Frankly, I thought he was a very good president. I couldn't tell you what he did, but I liked the way he handled himself. He's a good man for that position.
Well,
my take.
It may eventually be that when we see the fulfillment of what is foretold in the third secret of Fatima will mm-hmm. be fulfilled when that man, Dmitry Medvedev, will be in power. I would not be surprised at all
that's
if that's the case.
Very interesting. Yeah, okay. In the meantime, France, Macron, a clown, Germany, run by Bolsheviks or communists, trying to outlaw the AFD now, as you well know. What kind of a government is in the UK now? I have no idea, but it's certainly not one that is consumed with taking care of the people. It's consumed with the concept of bringing more invaders in. Europe is, I don't know how Europe can remain viable for very much longer. Perhaps war will come and remove that as a and make it a moot point. Go ahead.
That's exactly, you have summed it up there. That's what's going to happen. Because what's happening now, Europe is just headed into its own self-destruction. And a microcosm of the rest of Europe is here in Ireland. Our leaders here in Ireland are completely insane, totally mad.
Wow. Sorry to hear it.
They are as mad. They are as mad as their 72 genders that don't exist except for two, male and female.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, there are a lot of people over here in the U.S. now in the MAGA movement who are beginning to apparently have second thoughts about blind, abject devotion and trust in Trump. They're beginning to realize that he is not his own man, and he is controlled, obviously, by international Zionism and Benjamin Netanyahu in particular. That's beginning to manifest itself here, just FYI. That's what's going on.
It's going to be unfortunately interesting, and it's going to be interesting in a very unfortunate way how these events are going to play out. And what I hope will bring about a change of heart in Trump.
He's got to somehow regain independence. He doesn't have independence anymore. He is a controlled entity. I'm speaking for myself, not Father Paul Kramer. He is not his own man. Period. That's my.
That is true. That is true. I agree.
All right. So here we are June, heading into July already. Time is seemingly going faster all the time. It's the expedition, as in expedite. Nothing is slowing. Things are, and I'm not sure if it's just a sensory overload with too much information, but time is moving very quickly.
Yes, sensing that? Yeah. Yes, and everyone has to understand the message of Fatima, of course, it tells us what is already in sacred scripture. That was what Pope Benedict said when he was not yet Pope, when he was still a Cardinal Ratzinger at the time.
And he saw it, did he not? Didn't he read or see?
He read it. He was asked in an interview in 1984, uh-huh. Have you read it? He said, yes, I have read it. Wow. And he said, what is there is foretold in scripture. It's the end times, the mm-hmm. end time prophecies of scripture. The expression in Italian he used was "I novissimi," which is in Greek we'd call "eschata," the last things, the eschatological events, the apocalyptic events. That is what is in the third secret of Fatima, and he said it's in scripture and it has been echoed over and over again in the Marian apparitions. So when the Blessed Virgin Mary has come down. Has seen fit to come down to earth and warn people about what's going to happen in the proximate future. It's in those prophecies. And what is there is a major catastrophe for the whole world, but it is not the end. It's not the ruin. It's not the destruction of the world. It goes back to the time of, let's go to the 12th century, St. Dominic, St. Francis of Assisi, mm-hmm. when they spoke about the time that Mary, the Mother of Christ, Mother of God, she will save the world through her intervention, through her prayers, her intervention. Christ is going to save the world. It's not going to be the end of the world. It's not going to be the destruction of the world. He's going to save what's left of humanity. He's going to save what's left. But there's going to be a great catastrophe that is going to strike this world. But in the end, and this is the message of Fatima, part of the third secret that has been filtered out into and included with the second part of the secret that was published. She said, mm-hmm. "In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph," and that means the reign, the kingship of her Son Jesus Christ. Christ will rule, and we will then understand what it means that he is the Prince of Peace. There will be what she promised. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. A period of peace will be given to the world. That's when the Prince of Peace will finally rule over the world. And the human race will live universally in peace because of that. So it's not a message of doom. Mm-hmm. The third secret of Fatima is not a message of doom. It's a message of hope and of peace, of eventual peace, and the victory of God over all these forces of evil who will be crushed.
Well, it's a great cleansing of evil. It has to happen.
Yes. Yes.
The planet cannot continue on this course. It obviously can't. There's not room for good and evil on this planet, not to the extent that I'm seeing it. There's so much evil out there, it's frightful.
If it would be allowed to continue and not be stopped, as Jesus Christ himself said, all flesh would perish, which is to say, life on earth would be extincted. Without the intervention of God, life on earth would be extincted.
Mm-hmm. Are there references? We only have about 5 minutes left, but are there references in Holy Scripture about other intelligent forms of life in our galaxy, maybe even in our solar system? Are there references? I've been told that there are dozens of references to other forms of intelligent life in the Bible.
It's kind of difficult to interpret because it's not something that's explicit.
Okay. I understand.
It's
but there are references
and
there. And in other words, it can be an issue open to individual interpretation. It's not in black and white, so to speak, but it is there.
Whatever it is, it was not expressed clearly enough in Scripture because God did not want us to have a clear understanding about that until the time comes. And in prophecy, in the end, prophecy is manifested. The meaning of prophecy is manifested at the time, just about at the time of its fulfillment. That's when people are given the grace to understand what was written in prophecy, so they can say, yes, it's all been written before.
What is the biggest evil on the planet that we face right now? Impediment evil in the way of somehow purifying what's left of organized culture. That's a very big question. Is there any group? And I'm not trying to lead you in any way, but I see, personally, organized, what is often called Zionism, but it's been around for thousands of years, the usurpation of individual life and liberty, and the control thereof by dictates of money, greed, avarice, lust, which are written about. How would you quantify evil on the planet right now? And you don't have to answer with any specificity. I just came up with this quickly.
That evil that you mentioned of Zionism is real, but the evil is older than Zionism. It goes back even earlier.
Oh, okay.
And it is the rebellion. It's the rebellion against the rulership of God over his creation. And that goes back to the beginning. And that's what we have documented in Scripture, starting from the book of Genesis. It is that rebellion against God, that God created heaven and earth. He created everything visible and invisible. He created the pure spirits, the angels. He created men. And so many of them rebelled against him. And it's that organized rebellion against God that has spent, that's what is documented in sacred Scripture. And that is the source of all evil. And in the church today, in the Catholic Church particularly, I was speaking with one of the cardinals back in 2007 and 2009, and I was talking about this point, and I mentioned Freemasonry. I mentioned Cardinal Casaroli by name. I mentioned these things, and every time I mentioned that, the cardinal just answered with one word. He said, Gnosticism. 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 He said it like five or six times, Gnosticism. And that is the very embodiment, the intellectual formulation and embodiment of that principle of evil, that principle of lawlessness, which is what we call Antichrist, what will be the reign of lawlessness in the world under the son of perdition. And things are headed toward that point when there will be someone who places himself on the throne of God, a creature who claims to be God, to rule the world. And that is what we see foretold in Scripture, and that is what's going to happen, unfortunately, very soon. But that's what we see happening. And the force behind it is that what the Catholic writer Belloc called the permanent trouble of the human mind. And that is what the cardinal I spoke with said to me five or six times in my conversation with him. Gnosticism. 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 And the Freemasonry calls itself Gnosticism. It is a Gnostic religion, and its sacred scriptures, its sacred scripture is the Kabbalah.
Well, no thank you on that one. No, not good. All right, we have to wrap this one up. Thank you again. You have a lot of very, very keenly intelligent people listening and processing and looking for the light in the darkness, which I think is pretty obviously becoming darker all the time, at least right now. Father Kramer, thank you very much. We'll talk soon. You be safe out there, and I look forward to our next visit.
Indeed. Bye now.
Okay. Good night. All right. There we go. Twice a month, Father Paul Kramer. Remarkable information for you. It is a weekend. Let's see if we get through it. I'm looking, frankly, for a major frontal assault ordered by Trump and the Pentagram on the innocent nation of Iran. Iran was attacked. Don't forget that. They were minding their own business. And according to Tulsi Gabbard and others, the IAEA, they didn't have nukes. Not to say they couldn't build them, but they didn't have them. All right. It's a weekend. Prepare. Have a good time if you can. And we'll be back with you on Monday. The network will be broadcasting 24/7. So we will talk soon. Be well.